Welcome back. Among the most talented and prolific journalists in this town that is filled with talented and prolific journalists, Bob Chirito has become a pretty good friend of mine over the last, couple of years. Bob, before we get into what I want to talk about, which is your recent adventure, talk to me about the last 2 years as a journalist. You're a freelance journalist. You write for a number of outlets, including the New York Times. What has the last 2 years been like for you?
Well, it's been, hi, Rick, first of all, it's been extremely busy, you know.
Yeah.
Trump and the unrest, and just, between COVID and all the social unrest, it's been really nonstop.
And you really are tireless.
It's a great time for us.
Pardon me? But
it's a great time to be a reporter.
Yeah, no kidding. Do you worry about, there's always going to be news, Bob, but you're so right about the last couple of years being this really intense. You must jump out of bed every time that phone rings and you don't know who's calling with what assignment, right?
Correct. Yeah, I mean, I think in the last, you know, if somebody was just a reporter for the last 2 years, they probably had as much to cover and as much experiences as some other reporters who were around for 20 or 30 years.
I could not agree with you more. And you've done some astonishing work. You were part of a team, a large team, that was a Pulitzer finalist, weren't you?
Yeah. That was with the New York Times. They won.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool for coverage of COVID and, you know, tracking cases and then tracking, writing story. First it was about the cases and then it got too out of control and then it was about the people who died and then eventually that got too out of control as well. So
does it ever, I know we've talked a little about this, but now I got to have you on soon for a whole hour and just talk about the business of journalism, which is changing dramatically. I mean, you came back from your trip to find that, you know, 40 people had voluntarily left the Chicago Tribune, which, leaves that paper, my paper, pretty short-staffed.
Yeah.
And getting news is just a really precarious business now. You've been in this for a while. What drew you, Bob, into journalism? What was it?
Well, I just think I had a natural curiosity from when I was a kid about things. And, ever since I could remember, I think even in grade school, junior high, I was writing for school paper and just kind of kept going with it. And I always just liked it. And just kind of the rush of getting a story and that kind of thing.
Well, it's also, and I will tell you this, it's also one thing that characterizes you and your work is this, what I would call this kind of insatiable curiosity. I mean, you will go anywhere and talk to anybody to get a story. For instance, what did you do today or yesterday or today? What did you do?
Well, this morning I did actually three little Tribune stories because they're so short-staffed. They need as much help as they can get.
Yeah.
And then this afternoon I was able to take a little break. And, unfortunately, July 4th weekend is usually pretty violent, so I'll probably be working later tonight.
Yeah. So how do you prepare yourself for that? I mean, I'm not saying, you sit there and have five cocktails or something, but, you sometimes have to steel yourself before going out and interrupting other people's lives sometimes, right?
Yeah, and I think it's good to step away. And, you mentioned the trip I took, and that was part of that. Being away for 8 days was a nice break because things were getting really really bad with the violence again, and so it was a nice break.
Well, the other thing I want to talk to you about your trip is most people who have a frenetic life would say, okay, I'm going to get 8 days off, and I'm going to drive over to New Buffalo, get a nice hotel room, and spend my days at the beach with a bottle of booze or a bottle of wine or something. You, on the other hand, Bob Chirito, decided you needed to travel down the Amazon River.
Yeah.
What is the seed of that? I've got to believe it's not something. I got to believe you just didn't go to the airport and say to yourself, "Well, I think I'll go to the Amazon." This had to be a long time ambition of yours. Yes.
Yes. I remember as a kid watching the Jack Cousteau specials in the Amazon. I was never attracted to the stuff he did in the ocean, but the Amazon specials always fascinated me. And then I learned that a friend, and I think a friend of yours, Laura Weber,
sure,
who was
an editor at the Tribune, member, yeah.
Yeah, she had gone on this trip about 10 years ago.
Mm.
So she had told me about it, and I said, look, I'm not looking for the rich white person safari. I'm looking to kind of do it the real thing, the real deal, and that's exactly what it was. So it really worked out, and it was nice. The exchange rates to Brazil are really in our favor right now. So.
Well, the other thing, Bob, is you can't do the rich person trip because you're not rich. I mean, come on.
Exactly.
But did you do, and did you start over the 10 years ago you first heard about all this stuff, did you start doing research on it to prepare yourself?
I had known enough about the Amazon, I think, over the years. And then I'm a little bit of a fly by the seat of my pants kind of person.
Yeah.
So after she told me about it and the company she used, I think I booked it like a week later. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, so. were you at all, when it came closer to the date, and after a little news break in a few minutes, I want you to detail the exact trip. But in getting up close to the date when you would be leaving, and the no matter what you know about the Amazon, you don't know everything about the Amazon. Did you have any trepidation or any anxiety as it got closer to the date?
No, I was more concerned about the long journey to get there than the actual being there.
Yeah.
You know, that changed a little bit once I was there, and we can talk about that after the break. But it was more of, you know, I knew it was going to be a 25-hour journey with three flights and layovers and that kind of thing. So.
And did you worry about, were you going to be on this tour with a number of other people who you did not know, right?
Well, I really didn't know. I was going by myself.
Wow.
It turned out there was two other American guys there, which was cool, but they were only there for a few days. And then I was kind of on my own. So.
This is, let me ask you too, before, and then we'll take a little break, and then you can detail the entire trip step by step. You have two really nice, they're nice looking, and they seem to be nice teenage kids. When did you tell them about your trip, and what was their reaction? Hey, you guys, I won't be around for a while. I'm going to the Amazon.
Yeah, I think, you know, they obviously, I'm the their dad, so they know I'm a little crazy, so they thought it was a little cool, but they were a little confused, I think, but I was only going to be gone for 8 days, so
yeah,
it
was psychologically manageable for them, right? And you, and you too, because I know you miss them. Okay, Bob, we got to take a little break, pay some bills here, and we'll come back, and I want you to detail the entire thing. Like, it was 5 o'clock in the morning. It was 5 o'clock in the morning. Rick and I took an Uber to O'Hare. Whatever it is, I'm ready to hear it, Bob. We'll be back with Bob Chirito, freelance writer of immense talent and tireless spirit. Welcome back. As you've been listening, my friend Bob Chirito was telling me about how 10 years ago, a mutual friend of ours, Laura Weber, late of the Tribune, told him about a trip she took to the Amazon. And Bob said, well, that sounds like fun. I think I'll do that. He did do it. He left Chicago for 8 days. All right, Bob, you wake up. What day, it doesn't have to be a specific day. What time did you wake up to go to the airport?
Oh, my flight was at, I think, 2 o'clock. So I woke up normal time. And then I was just kind of pacing around, getting ready to leave.
Yeah. Nervous at all?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Did they,
I was just kind of anxious, and
did they,
I knew it was going to be a long day.
Did the people tell you what to bring in any possibility? Did you have to get any shots before you went, for instance?
Yeah, I had to get a hepatitis shot, a yellow fever, and then I had to get malaria drugs.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
And they tell you, they say, okay, now you pack your bags. Where did they tell you what to wear? I mean, how does one prepare for a trip?
Yeah, I mean, I just basically brought some shorts, some pants, T-shirts, and a couple long sleeve shirts.
Yeah.
And, you know, insect repellent with DEET, which seemed to help a little bit, but not so much when we were actually in the jungle.
So where do you fly? You get in a plane at O'Hare. And it goes.
Yeah.
It goes where?
Well, it went to Atlanta, and then from Atlanta to, and the routing was kind of screwed up. It goes to São Paulo, which is
in Brazil.
And São Paulo is 4 hours south of Manaus, so it's like 8 hours of waste of time.
Wow!
And because Manaus is a city of like 2 million, right in the middle of the jungle, and there's no roads really to get to it, and it was built back when the European rubber barons came in the late 1800s, and it's an interesting place. It's a little bit run down, and I saw actually a show on Netflix about it since I've been home the last couple days. It looked a lot more dangerous than I thought it was, but...
They fly to Sao Paulo, then you take another four-hour flight to Manaus, and you get off at the airport. Is there someone there to meet you?
Yeah, somebody met me, and then it was another 4 hours of, first about an hour and a half in a van down these flooded streets and muddy roads, and then about a couple hours, 2 or 3 hours in a canoe to get to where we were going in the jungle.
All right. How many people are you with? Who are you with? Are you with a number, two guides, one guide, four guides?
No, it was really one guide and a boat driver. So a couple guys. So, and who, you know, obviously I didn't know. And
yeah, of course
one
not.
Spoke a little bit of English and the other one didn't. So.
Wow. And how many people were in the group? You said there were two guys who spoke English, and
And then there was two Americans who were there when I arrived, and then they had left maybe a couple of days later. So they weren't there for the whole time. And then I was kind of on my own.
Wow. So they say, okay, let's go, man. Let's get in a boat. And you get in a boat.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, luckily, you know, I kept in mind that Laura Weber took this trip and used his company, so...
Well, you kept in mind that Laura Weber is still alive, so you're not worried about dying on this trip.
Yeah, because if they decided they didn't like you and deserted you, you probably would not last long there.
Wow. What was... So the boat travels up the Amazon, right?
Yeah.
And what is, tell me about the weather. Tell me about, it's got to be as remote as any place you've ever been.
Yeah, and everything, I mean, it's amazing how these guys don't lose their way.
Yeah.
Everything looks the same. It's just so vast, and it's really, it's a little hard to describe, but it's so big. I mean, when you consider the Amazon basin, the whole area is just about as big as the continental U.S.
Yeah.
So obviously we didn't explore the whole thing. But,
sure.
it's just massive.
So as you're traveling down the Amazon, are people pointing things out to you? Is there an agenda on this trip?
You know, once we got there, and I think the first night, once I settled in a little bit, we went out under in the dark, and the first night my guide, he caught a alligator in the water with his bare hands, so that was kind of like a introduction.
Wow.
And, yeah And these guys were amazing. They had grown up in the jungle, and they can see things from far distances that there's no way I could spot. I mean, they spotted snakes and trees and monkeys, and, you know, I couldn't see it until they really pointed it out, and we got closer. So.
Were you given Bob Trudeau, that there was a, you know, the guy's catching an alligator, and they're pointing out snakes and... And yeah. things. What was your level of waking nightmare? I mean, what did you get scared, Bob?
No, actually, it kind of made me feel
safe,
more secure because I was with them. If I was on my own or with you.
Oh, with the two of us.
SOL.
Oh yeah, good luck. Good, yeah, you me, yeah, you me, and Tony Fitzpatrick in a boat on the Amazon. That's a really good.
I've been looking for the cyanide pills.
Where did you sleep? Would you sleep in a tent or?
We had a cabin. I had a cabin and for a couple nights. And then a couple nights we slept in the jungle in hammocks with mosquito nets.
Wow.
And then we went back to the cabin. So,
you obviously saw a lot of wild animals, yes?
Yeah, I saw sloths. I saw, iguanas that were in the trees that were jumping near our canoes. And then... pink dolphins, boa constrictor we caught, a lot of monkeys, tarantulas, a lot of cool birds, parrots and toucans, and a lot of bugs, a lot of mosquitoes.
And how would you eat? Would you get up and have breakfast?
Yeah, actually, the one thing that was not so bad was we had a cook at our... camp, and we had they had brought some supplies, so we had eggs and some chicken and rice and beef, and we also caught some fish and ate those as well.
Jeez, wow. And could you use, I know you took on your Facebook page, you've got a lot of cool pictures, and yeah. I know that you were worried. Did any electronics work down there at all? I know you could take.
Amazingly, they did a little bit. We didn't have power all the time, but when we did, they had a wireless router, so I was able to use like WhatsApp to send messages and that kind of thing and make a call. Yeah.
Did you talk to your kids while you were down there?
Yeah, I did, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I bet it was cool. Bet it was cool.
And we also like went to see indigenous villages and things like that as well, which is really cool.
Well, it sounds like a remarkable trip. Are you going to write about this, Bob, for anybody?
I'm going to try. There was a couple things going on at the time. There's a missing or a wanted guy in Brazil, Lazaro Barbosa, who was an escaped convict who had killed a family with a machete, and he captured the imagination of the entire country.
Sure.
People in the remote areas of the jungle that I talked to, and they had caught him after 20 days. They had special forces looking for him.
Wow.
And they caught him and killed him maybe a day before he left. So, you know, I was planning to do a story, but then when they caught him and killed him, I didn't know if maybe they put the kibosh on the story, but I'm starting to think about it again, and tomorrow I interviewed some people today about it again. So
yeah. Well, it sounds like, I mean, it sounds like more than you bargained for. It sounds like a real, real worthwhile, rewarding adventure.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I would do it again. I'd probably go with a couple buddies and next time.
Rick Kogan and Tony Fitzpatrick.
There we go.
the perfect Amazon trip to get lost. Bob, it's great to talk to you. It's always great to read your work. There'll be some stories in the Tribune because, you know, Bob is tireless in his work. Take care of yourself. I'll see you soon.
All right, Rick.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
All right.